In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We welcome you all to our Ignatian Spiritual Exercises program online. I'm Father Ed Broome. And as always, I'd like to start our program by praying. Praying to Mary, and praying to the Holy Spirit, and praying to St. Ignatius of Loyola, that through Mary's prayers and the prayers of St. Ignatius and the saints, that God would bless all of you with abundant peace, joy, great trust in God's love for you, that God would endow you with holiness of life, long life, and eternal life. That'll be my prayer as we start off our exercises with Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I'd like to invoke the Holy Spirit by singing the traditional classical hymn to the Holy Spirit that is so beautiful. We're going to invite the retreat master to come right now. And the retreat master is the Holy Spirit of God, the love that exists between the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father. Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and in our hearts take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made. To fill the hearts which thou hast made. O Comforter, to thee we cry, thou heavenly gift from God Most High, thou fount of life and fire of love, the soul's anointing from above. The soul's anointing from above. Praise be to thee, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, three in one. And may the Son on us bestow the gift from which the Spirit flows, the gift from which the Spirit flows. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. So my friends, before starting our class, I'd like to introduce you to my new studio. You notice there's a radical change. You notice that the very heart or center of this new studio, we have a beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe. And Our Lady Guadalupe is addressing these words to you and to me right now as we're going through the coronavirus and a certain amount of trials in our lives. Our Lady Guadalupe is inviting you to do the exercises, and she says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I have you in the crossing of my arms. You're always in my shadow. You're in the opening of my apron. Where the Lady Guadalupe is saying that I have you in the very center of my heart. So in the midst of this trial, trust God through Our Lady Guadalupe. You notice right here on the wall of my new studio, we have another image of Mary, and that is Our Lady of Fatima. If you look below, you can see a nun who's kneeling down, and that is Lucia de los Santos. You can see Lucia de los Santos. She was one of the three seers of Fatima, Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. And she had this vision in 1929 in the convent of Tui, Spain. She was first a Dorothean nun, and then she entered into the Carmelite convent of Coimbra, where she spent the rest of her life as a Carmelite nun. And there's a beautiful image. And you know what it's related to? If you can look closely, it's related to what we were talking about the other day, our Princemont Foundation, of why are we here? What's the purpose of our existence? This image of Our Lady Fatima, it's artistic depiction of Princemont Foundation. So we are created, remember, we're created to praise God. We are created to reverence God. We are created to serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. So today in our talk, we're going to be talking about finishing up what it means to reverence God, serve God, and then to save our souls. Here we see it. We see the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We see coming from the heart of Christ. You've got the chalice and the host. And you see Mary underneath the cross. You can see the altar itself. You can see coming from the wounded hand of Christ, the two words, grace and mercy. And you see above Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So you see an image of the Blessed Trinity. I said that by living out Mass, especially the doxology, through Him, with Him, in Him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. There you have a mini liturgical Eucharistic expression of Princemont Foundation. So let's look at our gallery a little bit more. Here below, you can see this is an image of Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, appearing to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 1600s in the convent of Paray-le-Monial, France. And he showed his Sacred Heart to her. And he said, "Behold the heart that loves so much and is only received in gratitude in return. Console my heart." So related to that, if you can look up on the other side of the wall, you can see one of the most beautiful artistic depictions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that Sacred Heart of Jesus image flows from what happened in Paray-le-Monial in France in the 1600s. Look at the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I've been telling you, when you do your holy hour, make sure that you find a place where you experience the presence of God by beautiful images. So utilizing these beautiful images like the Sacred Heart and Our Lady Guadalupe, it's almost as if these images draw us in spontaneously to a dialogue, a union, a conversation with God Himself. So you start off your prayer by imagining Jesus is looking at you with great love. That sets the stage for your reading and eventually your colloquy, your conversation with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, and finally, you look below the Sacred Heart of Jesus, right here in this image, this is the image of our patron saint, and that patron saint, of course, is Saint Ignatius of Loyola. It's a saint that I pray to every day when we start off our exercises. So I purposely created this studio for you people so that you'd feel more and more in the presence of God during the course of our conversation. So we have Our Lady of Guadalupe, we have Our Lady of Fatima, we have Saint Margaret Mary Ella Cook and the Sacred Heart, we have the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and finally we have He who God chose to give us the spiritual exercises, and that of course is Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who gave us the spiritual exercises that we're doing right now. So there we have it, my friends. There we have it. Now, getting back to our topic. We've been meditating upon the past couple days, and this would be day 5 into Principle and Foundation. Then at the end of this week, we're going to be changing gear a little bit. We're going to be going out of the normal course of the exercises. And the reason why is because this Sunday, we will be entering the Holy Week with Palm Sunday. So make sure that you check out, that you get your handouts through our secretary, Veronica Ison, lovegodsavesouls.com, and she'll send you the handouts so that you can meditate upon them. So once we end this week, it's going to be a little bit different. So make sure that you get the proper handouts. We're going to be jumping from Principle and Foundation to the meditation of Holy Week. So that's so appropriate that we enter into the most holy week of the world, the year, and we're going to be giving you meditations corresponding to the liturgical year that we're celebrating. So that's just a heads up for you, so you're not taken off guard once you arrive next Saturday, and we will enter it into Sunday, which is Holy Week. So praise the Lord that we're, consider yourself very blessed to be able to do the spiritual exercises with this coronavirus during this holiest time of the year. So you've got a little bit more free time. Many of you are not working, so you can dedicate yourself to what's most important, which is your spiritual life and your relationship to God. Don't forget, I'm praying for all of you when I celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of Mass. I'm placing all of you on the altar so that these exercises will really radically change your life. So I'd like to start with a story, and then we're going to be entering into the very heart of Principle and Foundation. We're going to be finishing We Are Created to Praise, Reverence God, then Serve God so as to save our soul. That's a menu for today. Here's a story. Years ago, in our confirmation program, I asked one of our confirmation students, rather teachers, if she could do us a favor. If she could invite her nephew to come in and give a talk to the confirmation students. And the name of her nephew was one of the most famous baseball players in the world back then, who played on the Kansas City Royals. And his name was Mike Sweeney. So I didn't think we'd be able to get a very famous baseball player to come in. But the aunt invited him, and he decided he would come to give a talk to our confirmation students. Great. So, he showed up, Mike Sweeney, and the essence of his talk is what is going to introduce us into our theme this morning. He said that he was not playing very well. His relationship with God was not good at all. And it looked like he was going to be dropped from the major leagues into the minor leagues because he was not performing. But something happened. One of his friends, who was a born-again Christian, had a conversation with him and pulled him aside, and he gave to Mike, it was like a little postcard picture of a tandem bike. Now, if you're not familiar with a tandem bike, it's a bike, a double bike that has the front seat and it has the back seat. You've probably seen that. Maybe you've driven a tandem bike with another person in the course of your life. But what his friend said was this: look, Mike, you're doing it wrong. You are driving the bike and Jesus is in the back seat. You have to change positions. You must let Jesus sit in the front seat. Let him drive the bike. And you have to get in the back and allow the Lord to do the driving. So Mike, it's when he understood the message. And the message was very clear, is that he had to make the decision to place Jesus Christ back in the center of his life. He was brought up and raised in a pretty big family with parents who were practicing Catholics, but involved in so many different activities, being a professional baseball player, he just drifted away from the practice of the faith. So he came back to Christ. He came back to the Lord. And apparently what happened was that spring training, he performed really well. So much so that his manager did not drop him to AAA, to minor league baseball. He was permitted to play baseball that year. And I remember I followed baseball a little bit, but I remember clearly who is this guy that was hitting way over 300. Now, if you don't know baseball, batting 200 is poor. Batting 250 is average. Batting 275 is good. Batting 300 or above 300, you are a really good batter. And he was batting way, way above 300. And he did that for about 3 or 4 years in a row and made All-Stars. And to make a long story short, he retired at least 10 years ago. And he opened up a baseball camp, a Catholic baseball camp for teenagers in San Diego. Wow. Where there's a chaplain, there's a mass, there's a rosary prayed, I'm pretty sure. And he's allowing teenagers to go down to play baseball in the summer, to practice, to go to this baseball training camp, but also to do it in conjunction with the mass, in prayer, the rosary, devotion of Blessed Mother. So my friends, what's the message? Mike Sweeney had to understand his principle and foundation. His principle and foundation was not simply, you know, living a life of freedom, false freedom, a life of liberty, a life of fun, a life of pleasure, a life of success, a life of honor, a life of vanity. Rather, the purpose of his life, he recognized, was to love Christ. And now that he's retired, he's dedicating himself to his family, but also he's dedicating himself to the young people, playing sports, but also the young people dedicated to God. Isn't that a beautiful story? So I thought you'd like that. So I thought I'd start off with that as we enter into our fifth day of Prince Mun Foundation. So here we are, my friends. Here we are with good Saint Ignatius. And Prince Mun Foundation is this. We are called to, by God, to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. So today, this will be your first meditation, you can see it there, called to serve God. If you look below where my fingers are, first consideration called to serve Mary's visitation to Elizabeth, an excellent model for us. And it's actually the second joyful mystery of the Rosary. And that can be found, of course, in your Bible, a beautiful picture. It can be found in your Bible in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. So, of course, you're going to be starting off your meditation. Remember how you start off your meditation, okay? So you find the time, hopefully early, find a place. You've got your prayer corner. As I've got my prayer corner here, you can see these beautiful images behind me. And then you start off by placing yourself in the presence of God. Try to imagine God is looking at you with great love. And you pray your Hail Mary. You pray the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And then, after that, you open up your Bible, and your meditation is going to be the Visitation of Mary to St. Elizabeth. And then you remember Lectio Divina. Heard me say it already 5 times. You're probably getting tired of it. But the method is helpful. Lectio, Meditatio, Contemplatio, Oratio, Actio, and Transformatio. So take advantage of the method that the saints have offered. Okay, so Mary and the Visitation. So that's going to be the meditation for you to obtain the grace of service of God in your life. And I'd like to go through the meditation of the Visitation of Mary and give you some points for your reflection. Okay, there's a bridge between the Annunciation and the Visitation. What is the bridge? The bridge is the Annunciation. Mary ends by giving her fiat. Mary says to the angel and to God, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be done to me according to thy word." That was the most important moment in the history of salvation. Why? Because in that moment, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to overshadow the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Mary conceived in her most pure womb the second person of the Blessed Trinity. We read in John chapter 1, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Okay, practically, that's what all of us are challenged to do right now. As Mary received Jesus into her heart, we're inviting all of you right now to receive Jesus into your heart by making a spiritual communion. It can be made during any time during the course of the day. But if you're participating with me, live stream in the Mass, which you just finished about a half an hour ago, when I am receiving the sacramental presence of Jesus in the host, in the chalice, you can be making your spiritual communion. Then when I sit down for about 5 minutes, I invite all of you to enter into dialogue with Jesus, who you have received into your heart, making that spiritual communion. Say, so may Mary be your model. May Mary be your inspiration. May Mary be your life, your sweetness, and your hope. So after Mary conceives Christ in her womb, Mary does not stay where she's at, but because of the message of the angel in which she said, your cousin, Elizabeth, she who is thought to be sterile is already in her sixth month because nothing is impossible with God. Mary was moved into charity. The gospel says she went in haste. In other words, Mary did not give in to laziness. And this is a meditation that in these days in which we might become discouraged, we might be giving into laziness, we might be wasting our time, we might be overeating, maybe watching things on TV that aren't good. Let's learn from Mary not to waste time. My friends, life is short. Life is precarious. Life is uncertain. We know neither the day, nor the hour, nor the moment, nor the manner that God is going to call us. We should live each day as if it were our last. That's what the saints will always tell us. So Mary went in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. So here's a contemplation which you can imagine Mary taking off in haste. And you can walk with Mary. You can walk with Mary, and Mary's moving quickly. She's heading to a place called Ein Karim, which is about 80 kilometers, maybe about 55 miles from Nazareth, where Mary lived. So, and it was also, it was in the hill country. Mary went off in haste. And imagine Mary walking. You can walk side by side with her. You know, Mary becomes a Corpus Christi. She becomes a living Eucharistic procession. You got that? Because she's got Christ within her heart. So she's a Corpus Christi procession heading toward Ein Karim. She's walking. She's ascending the hills. And she's with Jesus. And you're invited to walk and talk and to accompany the Blessed Virgin Mary in this possibly may have taken maybe 3 to 4 days. If Mary was walking, say, 12, 13 miles a day, it could have taken 4 or 5 days. And Mary trusted God. Mary did not have a lot of food. Mary did not have a lot of money. Mary didn't have lodging. Mary didn't have friends along the way. But Mary was making an act of total trust in God. What do you think? Don't you think that you're called to trust God now? Are you trusting God? Or are you doubting? Maybe this meditation challenging you to cast your worries upon the Lord because He will watch over you. Maybe you could cast your cares in Mary. Remember what she said to Juan Diego. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm your mother. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the problem. Don't worry. You trust me. You trust my son, Jesus Christ. And we'll bring this to a happy conclusion. You're called to trust. So Mary's heading toward Ein Karim. So we're talking about service now. You are called to serve. To serve is to reign, and to reign is to serve. Mother Teresa will go on to say, he who does not live to serve does not serve to live. That's a tough one, isn't it? No? He who does not live to serve does not serve to live. Mother Teresa had a one-liner that's really very poignant. So after this long journey, you're traveling with Mary. Mary finally arrives at the house of her cousin Elizabeth. Now, obviously there was no emails, no phone calls, no text messaging. So this visit of Mary, it was a wonderful surprise visit. So let's beg Mary for the grace to live out Principle and Foundation so that we will be at the service of others. So I'd like to give you some details of the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Just kind of break this apart and beg for the grace to be able to imitate Mary. Imitate Mary in an attitude of service. Mary greets her cousin Elizabeth. She greets her cousin Elizabeth. What was the word? The Jewish people would greet people with the word shalom. Shalom means peace be with you. Try to imagine this encounter. Elizabeth is she's overjoyed by this surprise visit by her younger cousin Mary. So that's just an encounter of great joy. So this should produce in your heart, in the midst of this coronavirus, this should produce in your heart a lot of joy. A joy that you should take into your heart. This joy comes from God. It comes from Mary's prayers. But this joy that you're taking into your heart should not be kept, but this joy should be given to others, as Mary gives this joy to Elizabeth. Mary, shalom. And listen to the words of Saint Elizabeth. She says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Who am I? Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? At the sound of your greeting, the baby within my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you because you believed that the words of the Lord would be accomplished in you. And then Mary responds by one of the most beautiful canticles of praise that you could ever hear. And once again, we're going back to Principle and Foundation. We're called to praise God, reverence God, and serve God. The Blessed Virgin Mary is a model for this. This canticle of praise of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a canticle that the whole Church of God, priests, bishops, monks, nuns, deacons, we are obliged to pray what's called Vespers or evening prayer every night. And the canticle of praise that we say is a canticle of praise that issued forth from the most pure and immaculate heart of Mary, and is called the Magnificat. This can be part of your meditation as you're seeking to both praise God and serve God through the intercession and the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked upon the lowliness of his handmaid. Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed, because all generations will call me blessed, because the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has dethroned the proud from their thrones. He's lifted up the lowly. He's fed the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent empty away. He's remembered Abraham his servant. So Mary offers us this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful prayer. And it's called the Magnificat. So I invite you to enter the heart of Mary in this contemplation, this meditation, and praise God in service by praying the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So the baby in the womb of Elizabeth leaps for joy. You can even connect this, my friends, to the pro-life movement, the most important moral problem in the country, of course, is the defense of the unborn child. The defense of the unborn child. My friends, from the moment of conception until natural death, every life is sacred. Your life is sacred. The life of your grandmother is sacred. The life of the dying person is sacred. The life of your child that has Downs is sacred. The life of your grandmother that's on dialysis is sacred. Every life is sacred because every life is a gift from God. So both Mary and Elizabeth, they had in common the fact they were cousins. They had in common that both of them were pregnant, expecting a child. One was a very young virgin, Mary, maybe 16 years old. Elizabeth was an older woman, beyond the age of having children normally. But they had this in common. They had great faith, great humility, great trust in divine providence. That if God was to give to these two women a child within their womb, then God would provide and protect these children. And all of you know the story. All of you know the story. Elizabeth brought forth a very healthy child. And that child was Saint John the Baptist. And Jesus would say, of all men born of women, none was greater than Saint John the Baptist, who prepared the way for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then born of Mary, of course, was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So you can bring in a lot of reflections and meditations into this powerful meditation, the visitation of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. One could be praising God for your gift of life, praising God for the fact that you have children, these gifts of life that you said yes to, praising God for the gift of life in general, praying for those who are fearful of having children in the midst of trials and persecution and uncertainty. So let's move on with this beautiful contemplation, the purpose of which is we want to look at Mary, the way Mary loved God, praised God. We're called to praise God. Mary's Magnificat. But also, we're called to serve God. You know, it's not written in the account of the visitation. But my friends, sometimes we'll have to read between the lines. Not everything is said explicitly, but part of our meditation is using our mind, our imagination, asking the Holy Spirit, also studying at times some really good Bible commentaries that are out there. What do you think would have been a typical day in the life of Mary related to Saint Elizabeth? Try to imagine what would have been a typical day. I think that Mary would have gotten up early, and she would have dedicated her first time to prayer. That's exactly what you're doing, right? All of you are getting up. You're all getting up. It says that Jesus got up way before the break of dawn, and he was absorbed in prayer. Some of you are saying, well, we have a lot of free time, Father. We can do our meditation later on. Okay, well, you can, but I don't think that's wise, because if we tend to put off the meditation, we've already mentioned this, then either we don't do the meditation or we do the meditation poorly. We don't want to give the Lord our leftovers. We don't want to give our Lord the crumbs from the table. We don't want to be like Cain. We want to be like Abel and give the Lord the best we have. Then one of the gestures of Mary, and we're talking about service, is we take it for granted in our country that we have running water, we have bottles of water. In other words, in the United States, irrespective of the coronavirus, we all have enough water to bathe with, to wash, and to drink. Well, back in the time in which Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph and St. Elizabeth lived, they did not have running water. So what they had to do was, part of the chores of women with their family would be, on a daily basis, they would have to go off to the well that was closest to their home. And the woman would have to walk with a jug on her head, and she had to head off to the well, usually in the morning, to avoid the intense heat of midday. And then they'd have to wait in line. So try to imagine, we're talking about service of Mary. Mary, after prayers and greeting Elizabeth, would head off to the well with a jug of water, possibly on her head. And then Mary arrives at the well, and even though she's the mother of God, Mary would have waited patiently on the line. So when you go to the stores, like Ralph's or Vons or Food for Less, all of you wait very patiently, don't you? Or when you would come to the confessional line in St. Peter Chanel, there'd be a line of maybe 20 people. All of you, you just love to wait patiently, don't you? Okay, I'm being a little bit facetious. We all struggle with patience. We all struggle with waiting online. But Mary did that. How long was the line of women waiting for the water? We don't know, but Mary would not have cut the line. But Mary would have waited in the line, and she would have greeted the other women. She would have smiled at the other women. She would have talked very gently to the other women. She would have listened to the other women. In other words, Mary was very charming. Can you imagine the charming, beautiful, sweet, soft, meek, majestic disposition of the Blessed Virgin Mary? So by imagining that, you're going to become more gentle, more sweet, more loving, more kind, more patient, more merciful, more compassionate. All those beautiful virtues that we're struggling with, Mary can obtain those virtues. And also, as we said already many times, we're begging for the grace to be of service to others. What greater way? And Jesus later on would say, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. By the way, do you know what Satan said? And this is the beginning of trouble. He said, non serviam, which is Latin for I will not serve. There was a battle in heaven, and the rebellious angels were cast from heaven and precipitated into the pit of hell. It all started when Satan said, I will not serve. Mary said, I am the servant. I am the handmaid. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Be it done to me according to their word, her fiat. And then she puts into practice what her word said in the fiat. So Mary waits. And then Mary, she fills her jug with water. And then Mary has to travel back to the house of Elizabeth. What were some of the other activities that Mary did? Mary in the house of Elizabeth was very busy. Now imagine you have some mothers now that are home with their kids. You may be even more busy now than ever. It might be the case. But busyness is not to be canonized. Mary was busy, but she was not nervous or agitated or stressed out. And we often get nervous, agitated, stressed out when we have a lot on our plate. We've got a lot that has to be carried out. Pray to Mary that in the midst of your busy schedule that you will maintain peace. Shalom. Peace be with you. You will not lose your calm. Shalom. Peace be with you. What were some of the activities? Well, given that Elizabeth lived in the house where you didn't have vacuum cleaners as we do today, Mary would have cleaned the house. Try to follow Mary cleaning the house with a broom. My name is Father Broom. Remember one occasion, speaking about brooms and cleaning and sweeping, and my name is Clean Father Broom, Clean Sweep with Father Broom. No? Years ago, I remember I was called to give an eight-day retreat to the servants of Mary Noxnard, Servus de Maria. And I traveled to Oxnard, and the first night I gave a meditation in the chapel. And right next to the chapel, right to the right of the chapel, was my lodging for the eight-day retreat. But then there was another room right next to my lodging. And I'm famous for getting lost, even in small houses. So I made a mistake. I didn't enter into my own room, but I entered into the room right next to it. And guess what it was? It was a broom closet. It was a broom closet. My name is Father Broom. I ended up in the broom closet. So I told the nuns the following morning, you have to be faithful to your charism as servants of Mary. You've got to serve the poor and the sick. I've got to be faithful to my charism. I have to end up in the broom closet. So I told them that I went in my broom closet last night before I found my lodging. So I thought that you'd like that little story to pick up your spirits. So let's go back to Mary. Mary would have swept. She would have cleaned the house. And don't forget that Elizabeth, she's an old woman. She's already 6 months pregnant. So these activities that we take for granted, she would not have been able to do that because of her age as well as her pregnancy, 6 months heading toward the last trimester. So Mary would do that. And back then, of course, they didn't have washing machines. They didn't have dryers. We take it for granted. Back then, Mary would do this. She'd have to wash with her hands. She'd have to wring out the clothes. And back then, they would have to hang the clothes on clotheslines and expose those clothes to the sun. And the sun would actually be the means by which those clothes would actually be dried. So Mary would be doing this hard manual work of washing and rinsing and wringing and hanging and exposing those clothes to the midday sun so that the sun would do its chore of drying those clothes. So my friend, imagine you're with Mary. Why don't you ask Mary if you can help her out? I think Mary would be very, very happy if you said, can I give you a hand? Blessed Virgin Mary would say, of course you can. Imagine working side by side with the Blessed Virgin Mary. You moms at home, when you're washing and cleaning and you're drying, why don't you invite the Blessed Virgin Mary? Invite Mary to be with you. There's a beautiful song in Spanish and Italian, Santa Maria del Camino. Some of you speak Spanish. What does Santa Maria del Camino mean? Santa Maria del Camino means in the way of life, we want Mary to accompany us. So why don't you, from this meditation, ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to accompany you all the days of your life and your activities. And I think your lives are really going to change if you invite the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and she's your mother and your friend and your guide and model, to be with you. Okay, now what else did Mary do? All of this, my friends, is not written in the biblical passage, but it's present implicitly. Therefore, in our contemplation, we have to try to read between the lines using our intelligence, which God has given to us. What else did Mary do? Well, Mary would have cooked. Imagine Mary cooking. How many of you women here cook? Are you pretty good cooks? Or does your husband always want to go to Taco Bell or go to Big Mac, get a Big Mac? Or you can't go now because that means you women today have to become the best cooks. Your cuisine has to improve, maybe. Not to say you're not already a good cook. But what do you think, Mary? You think Mary was a good cook? See how she cooked that meal for Elizabeth and Zechariah. Don't forget that Zechariah is mute because he doubted that his wife could have a child. The poor guy can't speak until John the Baptist is born. So you might even be present with Mary, trying to console Zechariah, give him some words of comfort. He's got a big tribulation now. The poor guy can't speak. So Mary's spending good quality time there in the kitchen, preparing the salad, preparing the fruit, preparing the vegetables, preparing the cheese. She's doing it in a very, you know, Mary was very systematic, methodical. She was very orderly. And part of the exercise, my friends, is to order the disordered. We're going to be begging the Lord for the grace. Lord, what is my disorder that I still have? What is my attachment? What is preventing me from being totally free? These attachments, they bind us. You know, until we break these attachments, we're not truly free. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, being the Immaculate Conception, Mary never was a slave to sin in the smallest way possible. If you go to Mass today, Jesus, battling with the Pharisees, says that sin is slavery. And I've come to set people free, but you don't want to experience this freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Mary can help you. So Mary's cooking. And then Mary, she sets the table. She wants to set the table of your life. She wants to prepare you to meet Christ. And when the meal is ready, Mary invites Elizabeth and Zechariah to sit down at the table. Try to imagine Mary, Elizabeth, and Zechariah sitting down at the table, having a meal together. And you're invited to sit down at the table. Try to imagine the conversation that Mary had. Try to imagine that. Try to imagine Mary listening. Part of service, my friends, is the ability to listen to others. Beg for the grace that you're home with your children. Maybe have them put their phones and their iPads and their electronic devices so that you can have a heart-to-heart conversation with God, but have a heart-to-heart conversation with your teenage daughter, with your son, with your husband. Maybe you haven't been able to really connect with your family members because you've all been so busy. Now you're at home. Put aside, when you're having your mealtime, put aside your phones and your apparatus so that all of you can talk and listen to your family members. Certainly that's what Mary would have done. Mary would have engaged Elizabeth. Zechariah was listening into a wonderful, wonderful conversation. Mary would serve. The whole purpose of this contemplation, my friends, is Mary was at the service of God. She was at the service of Jesus Christ. Mary was at the service of her brothers and sisters. She was at the service of Elizabeth. And Mary's at the service of you and me. She wants to help us through powerful intercession that we can connect with Jesus. Now, what happened after the meal? Well, there would have been dishes. There would have been the cleanup detail. Mary would not have waited for Elizabeth and Zechariah to do the cleaning. Mary also would have done the washing of the dishes. Now, the mothers that are listening to me now, all of you have probably washed dishes thousands of times, but maybe complaining, being grumpy over the fact that you have to wash the dishes. Okay, well, maybe your kids should have done it, but there you are washing the dishes. You got to do it. Might as well do it with a smile on your face. St. Paul says, God loves a joyful giver. God loves it when we do things with a smile on our face, when we do our activities with joy. And then we'd have to say this, that Mary with Elizabeth and Zechariah would have spent time not only in working for them, in serving them, doing manual work, but Mary would have also prayed with them. Here you have the holiest woman in the world. And she has Jesus within her womb. And she's already said the Magnificat. Mary would have prayed in silence, but Mary probably would have prayed with Elizabeth and Zechariah. She probably would have prayed spontaneously, asking God to bless them, to bless the Jewish people, to bless the whole world. Mary had a Catholic heart. Catholic means a universal heart. Mary had a heart that loved God with all of her soul, strength, being. But also Mary loved what God loves. What does God love? God loves the salvation of souls. So Mary would have prayed with Elizabeth and Zechariah. Then Mary would have possibly prayed some of the Psalms that you're praying in these spiritual exercises. Mary would have prayed maybe the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. Mary would have prayed maybe some of the Psalms of praise, some of the Psalms of worship. And then in silence, can you imagine the three of them in silence, praising, adoring, and worshiping God in the silence of their hearts? So my friends, I hope that this contemplation and this meditation of the Blessed Virgin Mary has been helpful to all of you. I hope and I pray that it has been. And you might even conclude your contemplation by taking what's at the very heart of the visitation. In Luke chapter 1, you have the biblical verse as well as the commentary. And you might end by praying the Magnificat with Mary's lips, with Mary's mind, with Mary's heart. You'll be praising God. Once again, we're going back to principle and foundation. We are called to praise, reverence, and serve God. Who better than the Blessed Virgin Mary in the visitation and the Annunciation? Who better than Mary? Praise God by receiving God into her heart. Reverence God by adoring her son within, and serve God by visiting her cousin Elizabeth. So you can end by praying, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked with favor on his lowly servant. So my friends, we end with that. And I'm going to beg you a favor. In 15 minutes, I'm going to be starting another program. I'll be starting a program for your children and your teenagers. But it's not going to be an hour, because they won't be able to put up with an hour of Father Broom, no? You people put up with me for an hour. But your teenager is going to be from 10 to 15 minutes. So I'm going to be starting this actually in 12:45, which is 15 minutes from today. So if you get a little bit of a breath and maybe drink a little bit, so that I can give a mini catechism course for your children, your teenagers. And if you want to stay, you can put up with me another 15 minutes. It's always great to have you. So I'd like to give you my blessing. Please pray for me. Invite your children's teenagers, to this mini catechism course I'll be giving to them. So God bless you and thank you. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.